Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do you know about the history of Marion County? About the lives of our pioneer families and the challenges they overcame? It's time to learn more, and the opportunity is here. Saturday is Pioneer Day at the Marion County Park in Knoxville. Let's go in depth with Janet Ritchie with the Marion County Historical Society. Well, Janet, one of the most fun days of the year in Marion County is coming up Saturday.
Right. We're excited. This is our 30th year for the Pioneer Day. We started in 1981 as a suggestion from one of our members, and it just keeps growing each year, changing along the way.
30 years.
30 years.
A lot's changed since then, huh?
A lot. We started out with very small, very homemade sugar cookies, and lemonade was all we had to eat, keeping with the real traditional big sugar cookie, and just put out a lot of the older things for people to look at. Not too many demonstrators. Everyone was in pioneer attire, and it's changed. So we're kind of adding new things, and each year it's totally different. We try to do completely different things.
And so tell us some of the things that people can see. I mean, there's the museum itself is wonderful, and then all the buildings.
Well, if they want to make a whole day, why don't they start at 7 o'clock? And we'll come out, and you can have pancakes with the Knoxville Lions with us. And the Knoxville Lions have been great. They've supported us, give us wholehearted help. Even some of their members come the day before and help put up the tent. A few of them will show up that afternoon and help take it down. Lad Montego is the president this year, or has been several years, and he and I get along real well. It's a good working relationship, and we've made a lot of friendship with him. So you have your pancake breakfast, and you stay and you visit and look around. 10 o'clock, our building's open, and we have working demonstrations in each building. We'll have vendors outside that with their wares to sell. And got to hit the general store. We have a great bake sale going on in there. Some of the ladies are, I think, outstanding bakers. They're just, the food they bring in is super, super. So you can just browse and look around. You go over to Valley Chapel. We have a wedding dress display. And our earliest one is about 1850s up to the 1990s.
Well, so how many dresses?
There are approximately 15. And part of
dresses.
We have a few here in the museum yet that we didn't attempt to move. They were in display cases and,
sure,
and different things. But there's about 15 different style dresses and ages. Not all the traditional white or off-white wedding dresses. A lot of the ladies back in the early 1800s, that was their good dress. So they were married in that dress, and that stayed their good dress for numerous years. So they range. We have some bright blues. We have pinks. We have white and beige, of course. And then we have the flappers with the rhinestones and the headband to match. So it's interesting. I think people will enjoy seeing the different styles of dresses. Then in the museum, we've got a big, large display that will be in honor of the Civil War's 150th anniversary. So we're trying to keep it for the whole summer, so you've got all summer long to come see it. Got numerous artifacts from the Civil War, some that people are bringing in and letting us use. We have the books of the grave registrations and the militia groups that was in Marion County. So they can look through them. If you think you have somebody, we'll try and help you find a relative. We've got the roster of the Civil War veterans here. So we're eager to help do that. And it's probably my little special thing. My great-grandfather was in the Civil War. So I'm kind of the Civil War
person. Well, who was he?
William A. Kelly from Marion County. And he was 18 and ran off to the Civil War because his mother was Quaker. So he knew she would not allow him to enlist, but at the very start, he enlisted and ran away from home.
Did many Marion County guys go?
There were lots. Marion County, by population, Marion County sent the largest percentage of Civil War veterans.
Well, that's neat.
And there's a lot that didn't come back. We were lucky. Great-grandpa did make it back. He was captured in Ripley, Mississippi, transferred to Andersonville. He spent 6 months in Andersonville. And then was able to be, I'm not quite sure why he was transferred to Libby, but Libby was more of an officer's prison. Libby was probably worse than Andersonville. It, instead of being out in the open, it was a three-story tobacco barn and had very little ventilation, just the small slats for ventilation during the summer. In the winter, they took turns keeping each other warm. Whoever had to sleep on the outside, they'd change. It was quite cold in the winter.
So this is very personal to you, this,
yes.
this Pioneer Day in history. Why is it important for people to know their history?
If you don't know your history, you just don't know anything. If you really get into it, it can be exciting. It can not be the boring, dry thing. There's every family has a little bit of history. Maybe you're not proud of what happened in that family, but still you look back. There's a curiosity. Where did I come from? Where did my relatives come from, my ancestors? What did they do? And I guess it's just, it was instilled in us as children. We always knew this story. My mother always told us and all of us kids about great-grandpa. And just other things. Then as it went along, my mother and I got involved in genealogy. It took us 35 years to prove what we knew, but we had to prove to make the one connection. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to know a little more. And then when Dave and I was married, he said, well, I know a little bit. My uncle can help you. And we started on his side of the family. You hit stumbling blocks, but you keep going. You just don't give up. You keep thinking one of these days that little thing will click and you'll find it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Pioneer Day at the Marion County Park with Janet Ritchie. Well, one of the nice things the historical village does in the museum is it contextualizes what people's lives were like at, the, yes. at that time, what they were wearing, the tools. There are tools here I don't recognize.
Oh, there are. There's numerous tools. And I know the men enjoy that part. I go over and look and help with it, but the men do. And if they don't know, they're going to do a little researching. We've had them look up things and tell us the history. The popcorn wagon, we've done researching on it to find out. And there's very few of that brand of popcorn wagon that's around. Hopefully one of these years we'll get it redone and can have it back into normal working condition and display it a little better than we do. We have great plans. It's been long struggle getting things to going, Bob, but we do. You know, with all our buildings, there's of course always the maintenance. Our big goal this year is the new roof on the museum, which will be, we know, well over $12,000. Because materials have gone up since we got in our estimate. The front to our Stagecoach Inn, which was moved in, is the original front glassware or glass windows and door frame. We're trying to locate someone to custom build a new one to fit the spot so that we don't have to damage the stucco. So those are the two big plans for the year. But
wow.
You know,
well, what other buildings are here that people that haven't been here yet?
Okay, we have Bussy Depot, which was moved in. And in the Bussy Depot, if you're coming Saturday, you want to stop and see it because we have Doug Wilson, one of Marion County's own underground coal mining historians, will be here. And Doug's got a large display of photographs and information. He's got maps telling you where the different mines were here in Marion County. A lot of them were not big shaft mines. There were a lot of what they call groundhog mines or holes that the men went in and dug. And with Doug's knowledge, I think they're going to find that really interesting. And if they happen to say, oh, my folks lived on a farm, or my grandparents did, that, yeah, we knew there'd been a mine there. We could tell by the rock and things. Doug can probably tell them a little more history on it. I'm sure he'll look it up on his map, can pinpoint it, and tell them all the interesting things.
If he's not Iowa's number one coal mine historian, he's up there close, isn't
he? He's close. He's very close. And you know, we had Pershing that was coal miners. We have Melcher Dallas that were coal miners. And a lot of those older gentlemen that worked the mines are gone. So we need Doug. We need someone to keep the story going and telling it. Then we have the log cabin, which was moved in. It was taken down and brought in piece by piece and moved and restored back into condition. There'll be displays in there. We have a lady that'll be doing toothbrush rugs. Yes. It's years ago when the ladies wanted to do these rugs and needed a needle, they couldn't afford needles or a big wooden needle. They took the handles off the old toothbrushes. You know, they had a hole in the end. They could hang them on a nail. They used those. They cut the toothbrush off, and the husband would whittle them down, and that's what they used to make the rugs. The material went into the hole, and then they could use the needle to do it's not really crocheting, and it's not braiding, because we have two other demonstrators doing crocheted rugs and braided rugs. But this is a totally different type of rug. You can make baskets or rugs. It's really interesting once you catch on. It's a little trick, but Kim Shirley from Pleasantville does this. She's going to be there. She's going to hand it to you and say, here, hands on, try it. And you'll get hooked. I did. I got hooked. I tried it.
I've watched her. It's really
And it's
neat.
It's really fun. Helen Borgie, of course, will be doing the braided rugs. Hers are the wool braided rugs. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, her workmanship's just fantastic. And I have done the braided rugs, although I did braided denim. Helen told me I really took on an accomplishment, but I had to try it. I wanted to try all these things. And then Marge Clark from here in Knoxville does crocheted rugs with the big old wooden crochet hook and sets and does them. So we have those demonstrators, and you'll have time to see that. And then if you're ready, we'll have lunch. The society serves like a walking taco, hot dogs, Polish sausage, homemade pie from the ladies with ice cream, and we'll have iced tea and lemonade to drink. We have entertainment starting around 1 o'clock on the back of the depot, and it's local people that will be coming in, and all ages. We have young children. I think the little girls that are coming to sing, twins, are maybe 8 years old, 7 or 8, and they do a beautiful rendition of Tomorrow, Shirley Temple's Tomorrow, and it's just really neat. So, and it's people that maybe you don't realize could sing or do a dance routine. Libby and Mike Miller is another couple that have offered to come in and sing. She said, well, we usually do a lot of funerals, and I said, well, do gospel songs, that doesn't hurt. And he said, oh, we can do others. And we said, well, maybe preferably not acid rock. And he was a little disappointed, but he said, we can do that. And Colin O'Donnell from your radio station, Colin has volunteered to come out and do his Johnny Cash.
Pretty cool.
For us, and it's good. And then we have some other groups. I'm trying to think of those off the top of my head. I still have a couple that may be calling us later on. So just come, bring your lawn chairs, be prepared to have fun. And then you still have time to walk around. We'll be here at 4 o'clock. There'll be antique tractors, old machinery, cars on display. The annex, of course, is open. The men can enjoy the tools. The schoolhouse, I believe Carol Vannoy and her family are talking of doing an old-fashioned spelling bee.
Oh, cool.
And it will be for all ages. It can be for young kids, clear up through adults. So I think it's just basically all free to the public. Everything's free. The buildings are open. There's no charge. It's just promoting our museum to Marion County residents, out-of-county residents. I've had a couple emails from people. One of them was over in Ottumwa. The lady said, we'll be camping here. Tell me what's going on. And so we just try to keep it open and push it as much as we can. So many people that live right around here will say, we didn't know that was available. We didn't even know it was at the county park. But yet they come in the county park and turn to go to the ball field. They just don't happen to look our direction.
So well, they should.
They
definitely should.
So on Saturday, we're hoping they'll look this way and see some fun going on and come to see what we're doing. And invite everybody.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Pioneer Day at the Marion County Park with Janet Ritchie. And you can become a member here, I bet.
Oh, yes. Membership is $15 individual. And we tell you, any kind of membership, just don't pay $15 and say there isn't a job. Because, yes, there is. We can find something that everybody can help in their own way. The older ones aren't able maybe to do the heavy lifting, working. But they can come, like when we do the meals. They can sit at the coffee pot and pour a cup of coffee. They have a chair. We do work on our obituary scrapbooks and other books. We can always use people that love to do scrapbooking, things like this. And there's always help in cleaning. We're open from Memorial Day weekend. This is our opening until Labor Day each weekend from 1 to 5. And we always need volunteers to sit in the museum and show it around to different people. And they start, when they come for visit, they start here in the museum. We let them spend all the time they want looking. Then we'll take them on a tour of all the other buildings. We have a little folder we carry with us, especially for new people, and it kind of tells them a little of the history, so you kind of make it a little more fun as they walk through these buildings and explain to them what's there. And it's just trying to keep, as you said, the history and the old tools, the old ways, make it known to kids today. They didn't realize what hard life these pioneers of Marion County had to put up with.
Well, that's the favorite part of it to me, is watching the looks in the kids' eyes when they discover these treasures.
Yeah, I love doing the school tours. Especially, I usually do the Stagecoach Inn, and I wear my old pioneer dress and a dirty old apron, and they come up to the building, and I said, oh, you just arrived on the stage. You've been riding all day. I'm sure you're hot, you're dirty, you're hungry. Yeah, I said, well, for a quarter, you can have whatever we have fixed for a meal. It could be stew, could be rabbit, possum, coon, whatever's available, or venison. You may have supper with us. We will feed you supper. If you want to spend the night, you have to pay the lady another quarter to have a bed. And upstairs, there is a section for the ladies and the children. There is another room for the men and a bed by the in the hallway by the stove. And it was the men's responsibility to keep the stove going at night so there'd be warmth. If you didn't have a quarter, there was always the livery stable where the horses were going to be, and you could sleep on the straw. And then the next morning, there would be breakfast, but you still paid for your breakfast. This was the only way that the proprietor of the Stagecoach Inn had to make money. And they had to, the Stagecoach line would have to pay to put their horses in and have them water and fed. And then they would be on their way for another all-day ride, which could be 100 degrees or it could be cold. Very cold while they're riding in the stagecoach. Very rough, very bumpy. They made stops just long enough for the horses to catch a little bit of break and get a drink of water, and then they were gone again. So you were basically on that most of the day. And think how it would be to wear the old long dresses and the buttoned-up necks and the long sleeves and those ladies, how hot it was sitting in there riding. And maybe you didn't have the best of companions to ride with. You might have had somebody that was overpowering and kind of overbearing to be with, so it could be uncomfortable.
And so we'll hear these stories and more starting Saturday at 7?
Yes, 7 in the morning for breakfast. We can tell you lots of stories, lots of things. And as you said, seeing the children's eyes. That's the even the older people, just watching the expression when you can tell them some fun little things. But I think probably the most part is teaching the younger children and seeing them get enthused. And we do have younger children as members now. And this family has three girls and a little boy, and they're absorbing everything, just soaking it in and so excited about being a part of it. So they will be here Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised, but what mother has them in pioneer attire. She was asking, and I said, oh, yes, we can find bonnets, and we can find things for those to wear. So we just invite everybody here.
Thanks to Janet Ritchie for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.